How can you tell if your child suffers from anxiety or depression, and what can you do to help them?
We'll talk to a childhood expert to learn the signs and discuss how we can help the children in our life. Today on Real Family Talk, join us. Welcome to Real Family Talk. Today we're speaking about discussing the signs and symptoms of childhood anxiety and depression, along with intervention and proactive strategies to help the children we love.
It shouldn't be surprising to hear that many children have fears and worries and may feel sad and hopeless from time to time. These fears may appear at different times during development. For example, toddlers are often very distressed about being away from their parents, even if they're safe and cared for. Although it's normal and typical for children to have some fears and worries, persistent or extreme forms of fear and sadness could be due to anxiety or depression.
According to the CDC, about 7.1% of children aged 3 to 17 years old have diagnosed anxiety, while 3.2% of the same age group have diagnosed depression. In total, that's over 6 million children in the United States alone that have been diagnosed with either anxiety or depression.
Unfortunately, diagnosed anxiety and depression in children has been slowly increasing each year since 2007.
Well, what can we do to manage this phenomenon? How do we even know if the children in our lives are suffering from anxiety and or depression?
Today, childhood expert Mindy Salyers joins us to help us answer these pressing questions. Mindy has a Master's of Arts in School Counseling, a Bachelor of Arts in Elementary Education, and she's a certified trainer for OLWEUS, O-L-W-E-U-S, the most researched and best known bullying prevention program available today. Mindy Salyers is also a certified elementary teacher, as well as a licensed school counselor with a heart for helping students.
Mindy, thank you so much for being here today. This is an important topic, and we're thankful to have someone with your level of expertise here to help us navigate through it.
Thank you, Willie and Elaine. So good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So Mindy, let's start off by talking about the importance of this topic. 75% of psychiatric disorders occur before the age of 24, and 50% occur before the age of 15. How important is it to identify anxiety and depression in young children?
Absolutely. So we know that anxiety and depression can lead to other psychological illnesses. And so being able to identify and build coping strategies early on for kids can help prevent all kinds of things, including self-harm behaviors, suicidal ideation, and other psychiatric diagnoses.
So, Mindy, tell us a little bit about what anxiety is, because, you know, people often use the word very loosely, but there's actually a clinical definition of anxiety. So can you share that with us and also give us some examples of what it might look like?
Yeah, so we know that anxiety at a minimal level is normal, right? We can look even back biblically and see that there in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was experiencing anxiety. So we know that this is a natural part of being a human. And so we understand fear to be a form of anxiety, but anxiety is an elevated level of fear that is out of one's control.
So what typically causes anxiety? Is there anything we can do to prevent it?
Yeah, so we have natural fear But when we see fear being manifested in an irrational kind of way, that's what makes anxiety uncontrollable. So there's so many tips and tricks and strategies that you can use for anxiety. But I think it's important first that we understand kind of physiologically what's happening. So we know that the brain responds to any form of fear with this amygdala response in your brain. And so we see it being a fight or flight response. Just like, let's say you had a fear of spiders, for instance. And yet it's anxiety that can't control that fight or flight response. And the anxiety is not just a one-time sort of instance, but rather an ongoing response in the brain, which causes all kinds of hormones to flood the body. And so the body is then reacting in this kind of panic way. So we see those reactions as being jittery or hard to breathe or irrational thoughts, all of these different things that if sustained for too long, the body can't handle that and it's not healthy.
Yeah. And so, you know, can you give us some examples of, you know, what that would look like in a child that's maybe, let's say, 6 years old? How might that manifest itself? Because sometimes parents might not want to overreact. So they may just say, oh, you know, you're just not feeling well today. Is there a way that a parent might be able to identify that this is actually something that they should be worried about?
I love this question because I think sometimes kids get put in a box of like, oh, you're overreacting or you're throwing a fit, something like that, when really what they're demonstrating are signs that that child or that teen are struggling with anxiety. So things to look for as parents might be your child is worrying about everything. And it might be that you encourage them to put that thought out of their mind and yet they can't. It's sort of this constant undertone in their life where they're struggling. You might notice that they're very restless, that they're unable to sit still. They might be fidgeting or picking at their fingers. We also see their emotional response being quick to react and get angry. They're dysregulated a lot of times in their mood. We also see in kids that students struggling with anxiety have difficulty concentrating on their schoolwork or their homework. And then two big time examples of anxiety in kids are that they're using avoidance tactics, such as I have a stomach ache or I have a headache and I don't feel good to go to school. Or you might see them skipping out on one particular class in school. And then always, and I look for this in my daughters as well, is that they have a hard time falling asleep or staying asleep because their mind can't shut off. So those are kind of red flags as parents that we need to be looking for to make sure that we're helping our kids keep their anxiety in check.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Mindy. When we return, we'll continue to talk more with childhood expert Mindy Salyers on the topic of kids and anxiety.
Today on Real Family Talk, we're talking about anxiety and depression in children with childhood expert Mindy Salyers. Mindy, welcome back.
Thank you so much.
All right. So, Mindy, how can we address anxiety? How can parents address anxiety and depression with a biblical viewpoint? Because we know that for a lot of people of faith, we struggle with this notion that if we love the Lord and if we believe in Jesus, then we shouldn't have anxiety and depression. What's your response to that?
I love this question, Elaine, because when I'm working both professionally and then with my own children, I want to be sure that I'm frameworking everything about mental health in a biblical framework. And so we know that God created us perfectly, and He created all of those natural fear responses of fight or flight. And yet we now live in a sinful world. And so our mental health isn't prepared to deal with a sinful reality. And so part of that not being equipped is how anxiety manifests itself. And so I think as Christians, we want so badly to say, well, I was made in God's image, and so I'm prepared to deal with whatever comes my way. If you're feeling sad, or if you're feeling lonely, or if your mood is low, then just pray it away, right? God gives all of these promises, and it's so true, He does. And yet now God is calling us to use innate skill sets that He's put within us, and we have to train our children to tap into those skill sets to battle anxiety.
Yeah, so what I'm hearing you say is that from the beginning, God put these in us, but now we have to, it's not going to naturally come out. Our natural response now because of sin is fight or flight or freeze. And so now we have to learn how to channel that. That's what I hear you saying. So we do have the resources available. We just, as parents, have to teach our children how to avail themselves of it.
That's absolutely, you worded it so well, and it's going to take intentionality that may not come naturally. And so that's the training part of, okay, let's pause, let's evaluate our mood, and then let's think, how can we respond to this? Let's own it and accept it and name it, but then how do we equip ourselves with a response to it?
And the truth of the matter is that we're really trying to tap into the resources that God has already left in store for us, and they are in Scripture. So the question is now is, what about depression? What are some signs that your child or teen might be struggling with depression?
So I think it's important for parents to know that anxiety and depression often go hand in hand. And so a lot of the same symptoms that we see children manifesting with anxiety, lack of sleep or sleeping too much, not eating or eating too much, negative self-talk like, I don't have any friends, or I can't do this. All of those are identifiers of anxiety or depression or both. A tool I like to use with students and my own kids is, tell me on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being, I hate life, it's not worth living, and 10 being, life is awesome, where are you today? And that sort of metric helps me gauge where my child or where my student is and where they value themselves and where they value life. When it comes to depression, there can be mild depression, but in as early as 5 years old, I've seen students manifesting very significant depression to the point of suicidal ideation. And so I'm always gauging, okay, mood is low, not feeling great about life, but how serious are we that we hate life? Because those are the indicators that I'm looking for significant levels of depression that might lead to suicidal ideation.
So, Mindy, at what point should a parent seek help for a child, like a 5-year-old? Because most people, again, would not suspect that a 5-year-old would be depressed. You know, what would a 5-year-old have to be depressed about? So when should a parent intervene and seek help without seeming that they themselves might be neurotic or have anxiety?
Well, first of all, I think we can never underestimate the power that COVID has had. And so more and more we're seeing younger kids present with suicidal ideation and depression symptoms. And so I think it's tempting to be like, what, you have all your needs cared for? Like what you said, Elaine, what could you be depressed about? And yet, you know, these are kids who were removed socially for 2 years, right? They're behind academically, they're behind socially, they're behind developmentally. And so that isn't something that they are not going to feel. They're absolutely going to feel behind. And so whenever, as a parent, I hear something like, I hate life, I think it's easy for us to be like, whatever, you hate life because you got punished today. But listening for those themes of, I hate life, or I hate myself, no counselor or mental health professional is going to think that you're neurotic, right? I subscribe to, as a parent, prevention, right? And so if I have any kind of those red flags go off in my mind, I think, okay, you know, this might be beyond me as a parent, and there's no shame in expanding my child's support system to make sure that they're getting additional support, not just from me as a parent or a grandparent or family member. I want to make sure that there's professional support as well.
That's awesome. That's awesome. We'll talk more with Mindy Salyers after the break. Stay with us. We're back on Real Family Talk, discussing how to identify anxiety and depression in children and how to help them cope.
Mindy, thanks again for being here to share this invaluable information with us.
Thanks, Willie. It's a privilege.
So now we've taken a look at what anxiety and depression is, Mindy, and the importance of identifying it early. So once we realize a child likely has anxiety or depression, what should a parent do next? What are some tips and tricks that parents and children can use to combat anxiety and depression?
So there's really 4 things that I love doing with children. And I think they're really great, basic fundamentals when helping support your child with anxiety. The first one is knowing that everyone worries, right? I think it's important that our kids not feel like something's wrong with me or I'm broken. But yet, as a parent, it's okay to acknowledge the worries and help our child name them. I love using tools that have smiley faces or emotion faces so that our children can, you know, identify, what am I feeling? Am I embarrassed? Am I ashamed? And putting words to their feelings. Kids might find it helpful to journal their feelings, talk to an adult or mental health counselor, like we said earlier, or even drawing their feelings. I have a 10-year-old who is quite the artist, and when she is upset and experiencing anxiety, she self-soothes by going into her room and drawing sometimes for half an hour, and that really helps her. Lately, I've been using for middle schoolers a tool about anger flaming, and how if you continue to pour that emotion on, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And so as with anger, anxiety is the same way. So unless you can smother that anxiety or diffuse it in some way, it will just keep getting bigger and bigger.
That makes a lot of
Second tool. thanks, Willie. So second tool, I like playing thought detective with kids. So at some point when I go into classrooms, I'll even put on my detective coat and I'll get my magnifying glass out, because we want to train our kids to be looking for negative thoughts. And sometimes they don't even realize that they're doing it. And so these are maybe 5 to 6 consistent thoughts that kids are having that they're telling themselves, like, no one at school likes me, or I can't do this schoolwork. And so once we identify those with our child, then you can work together to be a thought detective and say, okay, wait a second. Do I have evidence to support that I'm not good at anything? Do I have evidence to support that I don't have any friends? So that's the second tool.
What's tool number 3? Because that's an amazing tool. It's just excellent.
So tool number 3 is finding out what makes the anxiety go away. So partnering with your child to look for tools, and we mentioned this earlier, those things that are innately put inside us, but maybe we haven't tapped those before, that will help reduce the anxiety and develop kind of the child's go-to coping skills. So I like working with my kiddo and identifying maybe it's hobbies like art that I mentioned, or music or sports, as well as other strategies like deep breathing exercises. When I had daughters who were smaller, like ages 3, 4, 5, we created a calming corner in a quiet place in our home that had fidgets, that had headphones to block out noise, that had tactile things that they could rub and self-soothe. And so putting into place these anti-worry activities in our home and school will be a way to help your child access it.
Awesome. All right. You said you had 4 tips. So what's number 4?
I do. 4th last one is give yourself grace to you and your child. As I'm watching my daughter battle anxiety, I am realizing that I probably gave that to her. It's a hereditary thing. And so because of that, it's something that both my daughter and myself are managing, right? And so I try to be very open with her about how I personally have to take breaks and methods that I use to keep my own anxiety in the check. And this, just that kind of language of, okay, when mommy gets stressed out, I'm tempted to lose my temper. And instead I go into my bedroom and I do some quiet me time, and then I'm able to come back out. Or, you know what, when I'm really grouchy and I'm snappy, I realize that I'm experiencing anxiety. And that's my clue to use some of my coping skills, which is taking a nap, and then I find myself in a much better place. And so when you're sharing that with your daughter, or your son, you're able to normalize it so that they don't feel like they're weird or odd in some kind of way.
That's awesome. So Mindy, real quickly, share with us how parents can address anxiety and depression with their children through a Jesus lens.
Yes, I try to do this in worship. We're currently reading through the Bible, and my favorite story is in Matthew 14, where Jesus has been up on the hillside. He's been preaching all day. He's exhausted, and he says, okay, I need some self-me time. And he leaves that 5,000 because he recognizes that he is feeling overwhelmed. And so he intentionally carves out an opportunity to decompress, to get some alone time, to calm down. And I think this is a beautiful message for our kids, that Jesus had to have coping strategies too. And so as you partner with your child to develop anxiety coping strategies and depression coping strategies, I encourage you to use Peter 5:7 as your rule of thumb, which calls it out. It says, cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Mindy, for being with us today. Thank you for watching Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll share more about strengthening families and inspiring hope. See you next time.